1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes our brother. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you today for what our ears have heard and our eyes have seen, and for what our hearts have experienced. We thank you today for this moment, for this service, for this special service, for this service that commemorates 100 years of the faithfulness of God. And Father, thank you today for all of the historical things that's been shared by Brother Bruce concerning our church's beginning and the faithful preaching down through the years, and then the precious people that have complemented this ministry by their faithfulness and, Lord, by their contributions in ministry. And Father, for the hand of God that's been upon this ministry, for the many precious missionaries that's been called, even today as I stand here, their missionaries out of this church are spread throughout this world. Many preachers have been called, many souls have been saved, and lives have been touched. And our Father, today we simply would say, thanks be unto God for his unsearchable riches and grace. We give you the praise. Bless now the preaching of your word, and the rest of our day together, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. These words that I just read were written to a local church. The church of Corinth. The church had its issues, but still did not lack God's faithfulness and love. The history of every local church includes times of testing, times of growth, and many growth pains. For every Bible-believing local church is blessed with God's favor, God's grace, and God's faithfulness. Today, on this, the 17th day of October, we celebrate a century homecoming of our church. A century homecoming. 19 and 21, as has been mentioned, this church was born. And for 100 years, this church has carried on the Lord's command in winning and discipling those that have been saved. For 100 years, we've been able to say God is faithful, by whom you're called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Today, we celebrate more than a homecoming of our 100 years existence as a church, but we celebrate 100 years of God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness, God's grace, and God's faithfulness. Our history has already been shared by Brother Bruce and done so excellently. And needless to say, the history of this church is a rich history. A rich history. 100 years of ministry for the glory of God. 100 years of ministry is still anchored to the foundation of truth. 100 years of witnessing God's faithfulness, God's love, and God's mercy. 100 years of telling the old, old story of Jesus and his love. 100 years of preaching that God saves the vilest of sinners and changes lives by his grace. 100 years, the same gospel message. 100 years exalting the same Lord. 100 years preaching heaven sweet and hell hot. 100 years holding invitations. 100 years in believing that God saves and God sets apart. And 100 years in believing that all things are possible through the grace of God. 100 years of looking up and believing in the Lord's imminent return. 100 years of celebrating what God can do. 100 years to witness families attending this church and seeing special bonds being made among the church families. 100 years of memories, reunions, services together in this church on the side of Sandy Ridge Road. 100 years of looking forward to the homecoming and anticipating the greatest homecoming of all. 100 years of celebrating what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. The greatest homecoming day is what we're looking forward to this morning. This homecoming is just a drop in the bucket compared to the homecoming of all homecomings. We're looking today to the homecoming where when the table will be set that the Master will spread. The homecoming of all homecomings will arrive. You know, it was an emotional week this past week for me. I'm an emotional anyway. And put me in the land of the Bible, and I tell you, I was a basket case. I just have to tell you this morning, every few moments, I bet I lost 10 pounds in crying in the Holy Land. I anticipated it would happen, but it didn't know it'd be quite that bad. I think about the place where our Lord walked. I saw the place where He was born. I saw the place where He died. I saw the place where He arose. I saw the mountain He'll come back on. I'm telling you today, I'm thrilled more than ever before to know that God can save a vile sinner and give you an appreciation of the grace and the goodness of God. You know, I'll share this morning. It does tie in with the message. It was especially an emotional moment for me the day that the bus arrived in the city of Jerusalem for the first time. The bus was traveling upward to that spacious city. And the guide was playing the song, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, as the bus was easing up that mountain. We traveled through the tunnel and seeing the city fully as we left that tunnel. And about that time, the song hit its highest crescendo. The words of that song, we came through that tunnel. It seemed like a brilliant light at the end of that tunnel. And then unfolded before our eyes was that blessed city, Jerusalem. And at that same time, the song, the lyrics were this. The light of God was on its streets. The gates were open wide. And all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of noon, nor stars by night, or sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing, for the night is o'er. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore. I cannot describe the emotions of that moment. You cannot look at that ancient city without being reminded of that coming city. You cannot look at that physical city, which is a city of David, which is a city associated with the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. You have the Mount of Olives. You look at that city, you're reminded of history. But thank God you look at that city, you're reminded of prophecy. Because John said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And I'll tell you, a homecoming such as this today should cause us to rejoice, should cause us to look up, should cause us to anticipate, because thank God we're going to have a homecoming of all homecomings. You can mark it down. We're told that Abraham was looking for city. The 100-year anniversary of our church, this homecoming, is not just about the past. This homecoming is about the future. This homecoming is not just to remember what has happened. This homecoming is to be reminded of what's coming. Brother Bruce was right. The past few years, since I arrived here, we've buried far too many people in this cemetery. I don't even want to begin now. I've been here now long enough to where I don't even want to begin to start naming names of people that I miss. Because I leave someone out. I think of all of the precious people, but I've got to say this, Annie. As long as you live, Kirk Baim lives. You definitely, you and him look alike. But I could begin today. I could talk about those precious deacons of our church. I could talk about those Sunday school teachers. I could talk about those musicians. I could talk about the people that have served in various capacities. And now I look out across this building and I can remember the seats where these precious people used to sit. And it becomes grievous after a while when you follow one after the other to the cemetery. But oh, thank God today. Let's be reminded. One of these golden daybreaks, Jesus is coming. Let's be reminded today that the trumpet of God is going to sound. Let's be reminded the same Lord who ascended into heaven will descend. He will come back. There's coming an upheaval that no earthquake that's ever shaken this earth down to the ages will ever match the one that will take place when Jesus Christ comes back. When the graves give up their dead. When the saints of God will be glorified. When the people of God will go off to glory in a glorified body. You talking about a day coming. We're not just looking back today, but we're looking forward. Homecoming is not just about land and buildings which deteriorate in time, but people saved and blessed who will live forever. Homecoming would be intolerable if it was only about memory. The wonderful thing is that we haven't seen the last of the departed saints. We're looking for a city. Yes, we are. We're looking for a city. I saw the old Jerusalem, but I'm going to see the new one one day. And I can tell you this. I now can tell you firsthand. The tomb is definitely empty. And I have pictures to prove it. But you know, today, we are looking for a city. 100 years of celebration of our history, but we're going to have millions of years to celebrate what took place in this building. The city that I'm looking forward today is of a better sort. It's a city that has God's presence. It's a city of perfect health. It's a city of no sickness. It's a city that you'll never hear fire trucks, ambulances, rescue vehicles. It's a city where there'll be no hospitals dotting the landscape. It'll be a city without cemeteries. It'll be a city where no one hurts. It'll be a city of perfect health. It'll be a city where no one will ever say goodbye. It'll be a city, and by then God would have wiped away all the tears out of our eyes. But I don't mind weeping, not when it's tears of joy. I don't mind weeping when behind my tear is a heart that's about to explode. When I think of how good God is. I guess I can say this morning I'm kind of glad that I'm a little older now. Because I can look back and I can reflect. I can appreciate God a little bit more. I've studied His Word a little bit more. And I have come to believe without a shadow of a doubt, God is. He's real. The city that I'm looking for is of a better sort. And the inhabitants shall not say, I'm sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Isaiah 33, verse number 24. There will be no hospitals because none will be sick. We won't have to worry about Blue Cross, Blue Shield, or Obamacare. Thank God we won't need it. We're going to have an eternal life policy. I mean, after all, we've already gotten it. But we're going to really enjoy it. When there's nothing by way of illness tugging at our physical being. The city that we're looking for is of a better sort. The city that we're looking for has a better security. Hebrews 10:34, knowing in yourselves that we have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. The welfare system of that city that I'm looking for is not government funded, but it's grace funded. There will be a tree of life bearing 12 manners of fruit which yield every month. For those that really like fruit, you're in for the time of your life. You know, I guess I could deviate and go back a little bit and make a point this morning. The city that I'm looking forward to, you won't have any sore bodies either. No aching bodies. And Cheryl, you probably know what I'm thinking, where I might be going with this. No aching bodies. I mean, you could fall off of a cloud in heaven and not get hurt. I fell off of a camel last week and got hurt. Y'all heard my crazy story yet? We were in the city of Jericho where Zacchaeus went up in that sycamore tree. And by the way, I did see a sycamore tree and got a picture of it. And the city of Jericho is Palestinian owned. On the West Bank, Palestinian owned. And we came out of a restaurant. By the way, the food there is excellent. I had no trouble eating the good food there in that country and in that culture. We come out of a restaurant, and there was a camel outside the restaurant, kneeling down, had a saddle on it. Of course, camels have to kneel down. You'd have to have a step ladder to get on top if they didn't kneel down. And there were two Palestinians that beckoned me to come behind that kneeling camel. And I thought, well, hot dog is a photo op. Nothing more photo op. So I thought, well, I can comply to a photo op, be something, you know, take back home. Well, now, those Palestinians, they had something else in mind. They intended for me to ride that camel. They reached down, they grabbed me without my consent. They were picking me up to put me on that camel, and I thought I may as well now just go ahead and, you know, play along with it. So I was trying to put my right leg over that saddle of that camel. And for whatever reason, that camel spooked and went straight up. And when that camel went up, it tossed me off. Those Palestinians caught me, but in the process, I wrenched my right knee. And I had that today as a souvenir from the Holy Land. And as I wrote in the little article, I just basically concluded that that camel did not want a Baptist preacher on his back. That's a true story. I'm sticking with it. But you know now, coming back to the point here today, I'm looking for a better city. Homecoming day causes me to look for a better city. I'm looking for a better city. Where there's coming a time that swords will be beaten in plowshares. Men will study war no more. Imagine an economy of the land where there's no need of a military budget. Imagine that. Young people will no longer go off to war. No flag-draped caskets will ever be arriving at Dover Air Force Base. There will be no foreclosures on homes. No one will confiscate property because of debt. I'm looking for a city, permanent as its founder. A city whose builder and maker is God. A city that is earthquake-proof because its foundation is secure. I'm looking for a city that's very secure. The security of that city is built upon the Lamb's sacrifice. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I'm looking for a city that's been made possible by God's Lamb. A city that the Lamb of God has died and secured as far as the eternal security that the people of God have because of His sacrifice. I'm looking forward to a city where the Lamb of God, will be who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, will be king upon a throne. I'm looking for a perfect city. A city where the government is pure. A city where King Jesus is ruling. A city where there'll be no questions about where people stand. Because everybody will be lockstep with what's right, because Jesus will be the teacher Himself. We're looking for a city that has a better sight. A city above. The third heaven, if you will. This city will have no smog, no fog, no pollution. The sight of this city involves a place that will be populated, a place that will be perpetual, and a place that will be perfect. The place will have dazzling beauty. The city that I'm talking about has dazzling beauty. We have had the privilege, all of us, of seeing the beauties, natural beauties, of our country, of the land, of various places. But my friend, nothing is going to compare to heaven. Nothing will be, is going to compare to what God is preparing for His people. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And you can hurry up and believe that heaven will be beautiful. It'll be perfect. It'll be healthful. I'm telling you. One day a little girl and her dad were looking up towards the sky. And the little girl was looking at the starlit sky, making comment on the beauty. She said to her dad, she said, if this side of heaven is so beautiful, what will the other side be? I walked through the narrow streets of the old city of Jerusalem and came to the Western Wall this past week, the Wailing Wall. Millions have made pilgrimage to that site. And millions are praying and looking for the Messiah. For the Messiah. We know He's come. We know He's already come. We believe He's coming back. Oh, won't it be worth it all when we see Him? You know, I now have lived long enough to see many of my family and friends leave this physical life. I commented about it earlier, but let me now be a little bit exact about a few things. There are some people that I miss so badly that my heart literally aches when I think of them. I travel down the road and I pass places that remind me of departed family and friends. I come to church, as I said earlier, and I look at church pews, which were pews chosen by departed church members. I think of my father and my mother-in-law. I remember where they sit. I remember so many precious people whose names are recorded in our records. Thank God we're going to see them in that city. There's coming a time that we're going to see them. I have a mother and a father that I'll see in that city. Friends that I can remember. People that I looked up to. People that encouraged me. I remember the night I was saved. I remember when my brother-in-law was preaching and what he was preaching. I remember being led to a little back room, somewhat like the rooms here in this church. And I remember an old godly deacon by the name of Herb Bowling taking the Bible and showing me clearly how to be saved. I'll see Herb Bowling in glory. That deacon that led me to Christ after the message had been preached. I have friends that I've had the privilege to pastor not only here, but in other churches. I think of all of them often. Sometimes I can still see their faces in my mind, in my memory. I remember a precious teacher I had in Bible college whose name was Tom Lawrence. I remember Dr. Lawrence, how he taught the life of Christ and how there was a moment in my life that I was just about ready to quit school. But I went to class one day. Dr. Lawrence had the students open up their Bibles. He began to tell us how Jesus had paid our sin debt. He began to tell us of how Christ finished the work. And I perked up in that class that day. I come through it by the grace of God. And I'll tell you the teachings of that dear man of God. I look forward to in seeing him in glory. The names that are here and of past ministries. The people from this church that I have had a wonderful time with and gotten to know so well. I think of many widows. I'll have to throw out Wilma Farrington if you don't mind. Again, I don't want to start mentioning a lot of people. I'll forget some. I don't want to do that. But I think of the godly widow women. I think of a Mrs. Caudle in the first church we pastored in King. A dear old widow lady who used to encourage my heart so often. I think of Lewisburg, West Virginia, Mrs. Mabry. I'd go to her house. She'd always fix like breakfast time. She'd make those, we called them big old cat head biscuits. And we'd eat those. She'd make us make eggs and, you know, bacon. And we'd sit around afterwards and listen to Hank Williams. That's a fact. She'd fry in some West Virginia reps and those potatoes. Then I'd go home and Carol made me sleep out on the porch. It stunk so bad. I remember a man, the name of Otho Spence, West Virginia. Used to fish the Greenbrier River with him. Used to go rabbit hunting, but he was a godly man. And I'll see him in that city. I remember a Merle Blake and a Marion. A Merle Blake, a Marion Bowden, a Roy Bowden. Sir, I could just keep on mentioning names of people that have impacted my life. I remember a Mrs. Townsend over in near Salisbury. I remember Mr. and Mrs. Seifert, precious friends. But there is one person that I am looking forward to seeing, whom having not seen, you love. And whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know who I'm talking about. He's the one that saw us in the far country of sin. He's the one that drew us to himself. He's the one that threw open his arms of grace and hugged us with redeeming love. He's the one that once hung upon an old rugged cross outside the city. And took upon himself the sins of the world. God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We will know our loved ones there, but we will know our Savior for sure. We will know him. I shall know him. I shall know him. When redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand. Today, we celebrate 100 years of history. We give our God the praise for planting this church on the side of the road. Not too big of a church, but blessed. Blessed. Missions around the world. Preachers called out from our midst to preach the gospel. Many have been saved down through the years. And still, by God's grace, we still are preaching the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. We're still pointing people to Jesus Christ. We're still saying, cut through the chase, get religions off your mind, and put the righteousness of Christ before you. That's what we preach. And today I say, to God be the glory. Great things he's done. 100-year birthday. Happy birthday, Smith Grove Baptist Church. Smith Grove Baptist Church on the side of Sandy Ridge Road in Colfax. I'm going to call it Colfax. I doubt that we'll ever celebrate a 200-year anniversary because I think he's coming. I think he's coming. I feel led right now as we close out this service in just a moment. I'm going to have a word of prayer, but let's do this first. And then I'm going to have you all sing again. And I want you to sing that same old song again, if you don't mind. Thank you, Lord. But let's bow for prayer. My Father, today, on this 100-year anniversary of our church, this homecoming day, dear God, it would be such a great blessing if someone would come home to Jesus. It'd be a blessing today if someone that's here out there watching Facebook, YouTube. Lord, it'd be a wonderful thing if someone today on this homecoming would be like that prodigal, would come home to the Father. Dear Lord, today, if there's anyone in this service that does not know 100% sure they're saved by the grace of God and going to heaven, remind them today, dear Lord, you love them. Jesus paid their sin debt, and they can be saved today. Lord, could be some people out there this morning watching that's had a dose of religion but never a dose of salvation through the blood of Christ. And they need to be saved. Father, I pray that right now, if there's someone that's watching, listening out there, that's never been saved, or even someone here, that right now they'll bow their head and humble their heart and pray a sinner's prayer from the heart along these lines. Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe that Jesus paid it all on the cross and died for me, was buried and rose again. Have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me and come into my heart for Jesus' sake. I pray, Lord, that someone has prayed that prayer today from their heart, either out there or in here. Keep your heads bowed for just a moment. Is there anyone in this building today that's not sure you're saved? Is there anyone today that's not settled about where you're going to spend eternity? Is there anyone here that's never come home to God? And right now, while the church is praying, heads are bowed, if you're here, you're not certain that you're a Christian, would you be willing right now to slip up your hand and say, Preacher Peters, would you pray for me? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Would you slip a hand up, please? Anybody in this service, anyone, you're not sure you're saved. How many can raise their hand and say, on this homecoming day, thank God I know I've come home to Christ. Let me see your hands across this building if you know that you're saved. Okay, you may take your hands down. Some did not raise their hands. And again, we plead with you. We urge you to come to Christ. Would you be willing now to raise your hand and say, I couldn't slip up my hand earlier, preacher, because I'm not settled about being saved, but I'd like to be. Could I see a hand, anyone? You couldn't raise your hand earlier and say, I am saved. You raise it now and say, I need to be. Anyone in this building today? Now, Father, again, we ask you to bless, do what only you can do in hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.